This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. No matter what the news is, it's still going to be a great day. And we want to let you know that the first part of John Whittemore's show from the Short Mountain Distillery is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything, from the simple oil change to major auto repair. Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive turn off of Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. Well, John Whittemore, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Truman. How are you today?
Actually, I am doing fantastic. It's been one of those busy days. I told Brian when I came in here, it's been so busy that I had to charge my phone up when I got to work today. So, you know, the more things going on, the happier you are. And I know that's the way you are at Short Mountain, because isn't it funny how time and history changes as we go? And Short Mountain used to be famous for some of the best moonshine that you could find, because it comes from so many generations and passed on down. And now you guys have your own distillery and becoming world famous. How does it feel?
It feels fantastic. We are just tickled to death. We've been open now for, this will be our ninth weekend that we'll have been open to the public. Keep packing them in every weekend. We don't know whether that's going to continue indefinitely or not, but so far it just seems like there's more and more folks coming every weekend. So it's been just as well as we could have expected.
Now, is it real loud over there where you are now? Because as you bring in all these souped-up cars that you have to load all the moonshine in and send them out on the back roads, you know, that has to be a busy place.
Well, it's busy, but it's not the souped-up cars so much
Come on.
We've got a big fan system that we've got going on in the Shiner Shack right now. That makes a little bit of racket. And this weekend, the Tennessee State Hog Rally is going on, and we're a part of one of their trails as well. So we expect to hear a lot of loud Harley mufflers in the parking lot. So that'll be exciting, I think.
You have really become a major part of what's going on, not only in Cannon County, but also the Middle Tennessee area. And we were over at the Cannon County Playhouse the other day and went into the Blue Porch. And she, Wanda Thompson, fed us some of the best cookies I have ever eaten. And she said, you know, one of the best ingredients is there. It comes from Short Mountain. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And she said, no. Said, they have that recipe over there that's out of this world. And it was. You guys have spread out into other things.
Yes, Wanda's a wonderful lady. Those cookies are almost as hard to keep in stock as the moonshine are right now, because we're selling out of those about as fast as she can make them, and the two go hand in hand. So we've been excited about that. She's also made some great bread puddings. She has an oatmeal shine cake, just all sorts of great little goodies, and everybody just eats them up.
Isn't it funny how you start something like that, and then people see the use for other things? And it's really turned into a positive situation for you guys. Is it a little bit more than what you expected, or is it pretty much right in line?
It is way more than I personally expected. I think the rest of the team have been surprised as well. We didn't know what to expect, to be honest with you. We knew that there were people locally that were excited about it, but we've had visitors from everywhere. We had folks in yesterday from Iowa. We had some people in from Missouri. This morning there were a couple of groups in from Florida, and that's separate from like the hog rallies and that sort of thing, where the actual folks come in for an event. These are just people who are kind of coordinating their vacations around a stop off to see us, and that's just wonderful. We couldn't ask for anything more.
You know, I was asking you a little bit earlier, is it kind of a novelty for a lot of these people, and is it some of it part of the history of moonshine? And, of course, Short Mountain has always been a famous area for having that product. And like we said the last time you were on the show, it goes back for a number of generations, and those are the people that are actually processing it for you.
Right, yes. Our shiners are hard at work. Jimmy Simpson said to tell you he would be here if
Jimmy
he could.
Jimmy Simpson is a great guy and has the best mules I've ever seen. And riding on that wagon, even through those bumpy hills, it didn't hurt my back at all. I mean, it was really super. And you guys are going to have that in the Uncle Dave Macon Parade.
Yes, we're going to be in the Motorless Parade on July the 14th. We're excited to be a part of that. And we're also going to hopefully have a booth for some information and pamphlets and that sort of thing that we can hand out to folks. But, yeah, Jimmy's great guy with the mules. By the way, he was Mule Skinner of the Year this past year by the Middle Tennessee Mule Skinners Association.
Why would anybody want to skin a mule?
Well, I guess if they act up enough, you've got to do something to get them in line. Yeah. But he was working hard on the still today. He was running us off a batch, and he said if it weren't for that, he'd be up here to visit with him. He wanted me to make sure I told you that.
So. All right, now you're talking about a batch. What is a batch of moonshine, and do you does it come through by the barrels, or how do you do that?
Okay, well, that's a question I get asked a lot as the head of hospitality at the distillery. I answer a lot of those questions. I try to defer as many of them as I can to the actual distillers, but... Mm. It can vary is, I guess, the best answer that I have for you. It depends on the amount of fermentation you have ready to go. Mm-hmm. It also depends on the size of your pot that you're cooking it off from. Mm-hmm. And it can sort of depend as far as how much alcohol it's producing. For example, yesterday Ricky Estes and I were there, and he made 8 gallons for that run. And
yeah, tell Ricky he's a great guy.
He is. He had me in stitches all afternoon yesterday. Jimmy was trying to finish up planting some of his corn, and Ricky and I were the only ones there, and he had me laughing all afternoon. But he got 8 gallons of top high alcohol product that came out of the pot over there. And then what he did was he continually checks it as it's running off, and once he sees that it's not beating anymore, he realizes he says it's dead. And at that point, what you're getting is backings. So what he did was he filled another gallon jug of the backings. You're still getting liquid coming out of there, but what that means is it's pulled all the alcohol out of what you've cooked off in your pot at that point. That's a pretty much an average run there, maybe a little above average for that particular still that they're using. So he saved the backings. He caught a gallon of the backings off, and then they use that to put back in their thumper for the next run. They'll put those backings off in there, and that sort of helps to they term it as a double distillation. It's not really that. It's just a way of pushing more of the alcohol vapors through the steam pipes.
That's almost like working in the scientific lab, the way you're explaining it to me. And how do you keep it balanced where each container has the same amount of the proof.
Okay. Well, again, I'm probably not the expert to answer these questions. I'll do my best.
Because it sounds complicated to me.
It is complicated, and that's one of the reasons I'm glad I'm doing the tours and the hospitality and not having to deal with all that, because there is a lot that goes into it. Mm-hmm. But what we actually do is you're pulling it off the still at a high proof, and you don't really have any way of controlling that. But when we take it over to the other side of the still house over there, and Josh, our head of production, puts it through a double distillation in our 30-gallon still that we have over there, that's a way that we can kind of hone in. He's measuring the proof as it comes off, and then he has a system of it's a combination of by volume and by temperature that he measures with a hydrometer what the proof is, and if he needs to, he can add a little distilled water, and that can lower the proof. That's generally what you need to do is lower it. It's very rarely going to come in under. It's usually going to be up there fairly high. So then you can add water to it to get it down to proof. That's my best understanding.
Do you have a taster on hand? Now, I know I'm talking about, the one is actually testing the quality of the product as it comes out.
Yes, sir. And I will tell you, we get lots of volunteers for that job.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
But the way we do that is more or less by committee. Mm-hmm. And we have a Tuesday morning production meeting, and all of the shiners, as well as Josh, myself, Billy, Christian, and even Blake is there as well. We all sit down around the table, and we test the different batches that have come off that mm-hmm. week to kind of make a decision on what we're going to bottle. Mm-hmm. And we keep a running list. Everyone rates each different taste. We don't know what it is. It's kind of a blind test for us, so we don't have any preconceived notion of it. And then once we come through there, we tabulate off, you know, which was the best, and that's the one that we go with for that week. So there's a lot of tasters around there. And it's a great way to start your Tuesday morning, I can tell you that.
Can you put a blindfold on them or whatever, and give them, can they actually tell the difference in the product that you make and the product that somebody else would make? Is that something that it's readily discernible or not?
I absolutely know that it is. We've done a little of that ourselves, mm-hmm. seeing if we can. We've mm-hmm. taken a product from another person who's out there in the market, mm-hmm. their product and ours, and we can easily tell the difference. Now, we, of course, taste ours quite a bit and have a hands-on experience with it. So I don't know that that's even a true test of that, mm-hmm. but we have had reports from a magazine who recently did a blind taste test, mm-hmm. and it was another product that's out on the market right now against ours, and through each and every little step of the way, every person on the panel in every category chose Short Mountain Shine. That's and amazing. We had nothing to do with it. We didn't pay them or anything else. Those were just the findings that they reported back to us on.
Now, do you make it very similar to the way it was made in the old days? I'm sure you got more updated equipment, but is it pretty much related to how it used to be distilled?
Absolutely.
Say 50, 100 years ago, 150
Absolutely.
Years ago?
That's something I say to just about every guest that we have come up that day. I take them over and show them the two-barrel pot still that we have in the Shiner Shack, mm-hmm. and I point out to them that this is the kind of still that was used here as far back as 100 years ago. We use the same methods. Jimmy's recipe is one that's been handed down since my great-grandfather and his mm-hmm. grandfather first came into Cannon County. It's a similar recipe to what others in Cannon County have always used, but mm-hmm. that is the recipe, and it hasn't changed at all. And what we have coming out, folks that have had the other illegal stuff through the years will tell you that's just like they remember it. So it is.
As the demands increase, how are you going to be flexible enough in your business to keep putting out the same good product but yet meet all the demands as it grows nationally? Because I know it is growing.
Well, that's definitely going to be a challenge. Yeah. And again, we'll approach it the way we have from the very beginning. We'll take each day as it comes and try to do our best to plan ahead, get the best equipment that we can in there. We're already seeing that it's going to be necessary that we grow immediately. Mm-hmm. So the plan is to build another facility and to stock it with equipment. And we have apprentices and folks that are there working right now to learn the steps that you have to go through, both on the making side of it, as well as the paperwork and the reporting of how much goes into this and that. That's a big part of what goes on there too, which is something that the Shiners aren't really accustomed to. So mm-hmm. Josh is handling a lot of that. He's got a person he's bringing in to kind of assist him in that and showing him how to do it. But we'll just grow as we see fit. And it will probably be a slow growth initially, but we have already just been I guess I keep using this term, but it's overwhelmed mm-hmm. by the demand for our product. And it has been, you know, it has been a great problem to have. Of course, it's far better to have it that's going out the door as fast as you can make it, as opposed to it's in there gathering dust. But we've had to kind of take some steps with our distributors have had to take some steps to make sure that our product is released in an appropriate way and that we can satisfy the demand. That was one of the things I wanted to talk with you about to kind of clear up. We get a lot of questions out there on the tours of, well, where can I find this in the stores? Are y'all in Murfreesboro package stores? Are you in Nashville stores? Which stores? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to clear that up. We had done, Best Brands is our Middle Tennessee distributor. Mm-hmm. We had done a release with them very early on, coinciding with our grand opening, so that they would have product to be able to put out to the retail stores. Well, that was a small release that we did. Mm-hmm. And what we found out happened is they stocked the stores that wanted it, which was a lot of them, and they sold out almost immediately.
Wow.
They then turned around and were trying to order 20 and 30 cases at a time, which Best Brands just didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than offending or making one store mad because this other store is getting it and they aren't, what they've decided to do, and I think this is a wise way to go about it, they're holding our product in their warehouse right now until they get to a certain number of cases. They know how many cases that is because they know the stores and know their business. They're going to hold back probably for another week or two, maybe even 3 weeks, until they get enough from us to do a bigger release. And that way they'll be able to fully stock all the stores, fulfill all their orders, and not have to, you know, one get more than the other or anything like that. So right now, as far as I know, there are no stores that have it right now, the package stores, mm-hmm. retail stores, but it will be over in the next month, I'd say for sure, it will be in Murfreesboro, Nashville, Franklin, the whole Middle Tennessee area that Best Brands is covering right now.
It sounds like what you're going to have to do is upgrade your production to meet the demand, and that's pretty evidently, when you and I were talking, you know, months ago about this, you had a vision of how it was going to grow. But it seems like it's even surpassed what you thought it was going
it absolutely
to.
Is.
That has to be both a good thing and a bad thing at the mm-hmm. same time, because mm-hmm. it's great to know that your product is being accepted, but being able to fulfill the demands would be extremely stressful, I would think, in your business.
It is. It's a bit stressful for all of us. I've tried to make the decision to only worry about what we can control, mm-hmm. and that's been a big step in the right direction. But we're already purchasing and ordering bigger fermenters, more equipment, and that sort of thing to try to increase with what we have there. But we want to get more fermentations going at the same time so that we keep one going all the time through there. So those should be arriving this week. And all the Shiners, as well as Josh Smotherman, are all working as hard as they can possibly work. I can promise you that they're working a lot of hours and really putting their backs and their minds to the task.
It's going to be different for everybody because each one of them is used to working at a certain size level
mm-hmm.
and being able to keep the right amount of product there. And as you grow, all of that has to be intensified. It has to change as far as how they deal with it. And right now, like I said it's such a novelty because everybody has heard about moonshine and it had a certain, I guess, a thrill to it because we were thinking about the old days when you had the runners and everything like that. And of course, Thunder Road made all of that famous back there. And it was in the 50s, I guess it was. But how are you going to still maintain how people view that? I mean, it's not just the taste, it's the history of it that goes with it.
Right, and I wanted to speak on that as well. The experience of coming out and visiting the distillery is something that we're very proud of. Mm-hmm. We do, of course, talk about our product and the way we go about making that product, but a big part of our time there with the tour groups, we talk about our farming practices mm-hmm. and how, you know, I tell people that we're not only celebrating and remembering the history and heritage of the moonshining, which as a craft, mm-hmm. but also trying to not forget some of those old farming practices and the knowing how to handle mules and that sort of thing. We talk a lot about just the history of what kinds of people came and settled Cannon County, why they were known for moonshining pretty much, and you know, from the very beginning this area was known for that, and that's something that we're real proud of, taking people back and showing them our spring, telling them about Cooper Melton, who sold moonshine to Al Capone back in Prohibition days and that sort of thing. And people just, they love it, they really do. They love hearing about that, maybe not as much as they like drinking our product, but they enjoy it, they really do. And so after the tour is really based on the history and farming practices, the first part of it. And then when we bring them back, I show them the second part of Stillhouse 1, where we've got some of the more modern equipment. Mm-hmm. And then to finish up the tour, they get to go in and get themselves a taste and take home a bottle for themselves.
Do you have many of the old-time moonshiners and their families that have been in that area for years ever come over and look and see what you're doing and try to give you maybe some pointers or whatever.
Sure. That you know, that's an almost daily occurrence.
Yeah.
There's several of those guys that will come up and just sort of hang out with Jimmy and the boys. They usually know them anyway. You know, Cannon County's a pretty small place.
I bet there's some great stories.
Oh, you would not believe. Tuesday afternoon, I was there. And we had a couple of people missing, and it was kind of a slow day anyway, but had a great group of kind of older gentlemen that knew their way around a moonshine still, too, and they were out there with Ricky and Jimmy swapping stories, and it was a nice breeze blowing through there, and I thought, I've got the best job in the world. I get to sit out here on the porch and listen to these guys tell these stories and make this great product, and I tell people that just about every day when they come through, that I feel like I'm a very lucky man. I get to meet wonderful people, get to walk around that beautiful property and be a part of something that I think is really going to be a great thing for Cannon County.
But you know, it kind of takes the edge off a little bit to not have your shotgun sitting next to you at the tree waiting for the revenuers to come in and check you out. You just doesn't that take a little bit off of it? Can you still operate at a full level that way?
Well, I tell you, we have enough of an edge from other things that we don't need any more edge than what we've already got. So we're just fine with it the way that it is.
Now, somebody gave me, and I think it may have been Donald Fan, was telling me that you were into the arts, that you loved to be in the plays and stuff. I found that fascinating. I'd never figured you for a thespian.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I tell Donald, we had a meeting down there with them about another project that we have going on, and I told him every day what I do at the distillery sort of feels like acting in a way. It's like being on stage all day. Anyway, it's not an act, but it feels like being on stage. Mm-hmm. And yes, I was a musical performer for years. I did quite a few shows at the Arts Center back a few years back. I've done a few commercials for some places and regional commercials and that sort of thing, but dabbled in a little bit of that, sure. And I think that it's benefited me for what I'm doing now, you know, especially coming on programs like this, being on television programs and that sort of thing. It makes me feel a little more relaxed. I've got some background in it.
You know, I know they're getting ready to have Arsenic and Old Lace starting, I believe, tomorrow night at the Cannon County Art Theater, and we're going there. But, you know, I think that you could probably help them. Is there any way that maybe you could change your process and make a little elderberry wine while you're over there, or would that be too difficult of a change?
While we're at the distillery making wine?
Yeah. Well, you know what the elderberry wine was used for in arsenic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, sir. I don't know whether we're in a position to do that right now. We're really pushing and being pushed to get our product out there. I was talking to some folks today about doing the apple pie moonshine recipe that we're going to come out with in September, and eventually doing whiskeys and bourbons. And they said, oh, when are you going to start doing that? And I said, I guess when we get caught up on making all this moonshine, because there is such a demand for that right now that we are just trying not to look up until we get all that done.
Would that be kind of like a subsidiary or whatever, or would you have to build another small business to actually take care of the edible products, like the apple pies and the cookies and those type things? And are you planning on manufacturing that from your business and starting that particular end?
Well, we really appreciate the Blue Porch for what they're doing with us right
now. Their food is just out of this world.
That has been a great thing to have to, as I was saying before, kind of co-sponsor or publicity-wise, we share that, cross-promote. Mm-hmm. And that's what we really want to do right now. I know that Billy has talked about plans for when we get a bigger facility. We're going to have a museum there, of course, a moonshine museum, and possibly a cafe or a restaurant that's attached. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, we've got some ideas about that. But we really like the idea of working with other businesses in the community. That's something that when we were trying to get our petition done to be on the referendum, we talked a lot about how we wanted to share the tourism and the business that we can bring to town with other businesses. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm really excited about right now, that we're going to start here in the next couple of weeks having some tour buses come out. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing that we're calling the Shine Tour. Neil Applebaum from the Cannon County Chamber of Commerce has helped put this together. And it's going to be ourselves as the last stop on the tour, and the Reval Mill is going to be the first stop. They're going to stop in there and visit with Tom Brady and Nora for a little while. Then they're going to come on down the road. They're going to eat lunch at the Blue Porch Cafe. Then they're going to have a short, brief performance at the Art Center, where we're thinking something along the lines of Appalachian music, something that would have some tie-in with what we're doing. And then they're going to finally come up there and visit with us. They'll get a nice tour, get to do a free tasting. We'll have a shot glass as a souvenir for all of them to take home. And then, of course, if they want to purchase something while they're there, we'd be glad to take care of them on that end as well. But that's something that we feel like we'll all benefit from, and then other businesses in the community will benefit from as well, because the folks will be coming through and they'll learn more about Woodbury, and hopefully that'll make them want to come back.
Do you kind of see that, just like Wanda, did she develop that recipe herself, or did she work with you on the recipe for the cookies?
As far as I know, she did it all on her own.
Now, that's almost like setting a trend in a way for the businesses in Cannon County to utilize your product for the Cannon for moonshine cakes and cookies, because Wanda did a great job with what she did. And can you imagine all over Cannon County they're having all of these products that come from your place?
Yeah, that would be great. And that's again, that's something that we will encourage, and anything we can do to help, just let us know. If there are people out there who have some ideas, we encourage craftsmen and craft artists and that sort of thing. We're going to start utilizing our we have a pavilion area out to the side of the still house where we're going to start letting people come in, display their crafts, do demonstrations of some crafts that are native to the area, which, as you know, there are tons of wonderful artists right there in our neighborhood. So we're going to have all those folks come in, do some things like that. And you know, music artists, we're going to have a little mini concert or festival at the end of July, where we're going to have some kind of local up-and-coming bands that are going to come out and perform as an all-day type of thing. Just anything we can come up with like that to bring people out and enjoy themselves and help out our neighbors, we're all for it.
Do you think that that's going to help tourism in Cannon County as far as having that notoriety that they can come here? It's just like when people go out west, like Williams, Arizona, and they get to see the gunfighters, and then you get to take a train ride, and you're robbed while you're on the train. One of those old, 1860s trains, 70s or whatever they were at the time. Is that a possibility that Cannon County is looking into utilizing what you're doing in the history of moonshining, especially in Short Mountain?
Oh, sure. Already has. That's why, you know, we're working with Neil from the Chamber about that, and everybody's excited about it, and we feel like we're already becoming a very popular tourism destination.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with John Whittemore.
The Bunganut Pig is back and better than ever in the borough.
This is Janet Bowman at Mid-South Bank, and this is an awesome place for lunch. Great food. You can get in and out. Best service available in town. So if you're in a rush or not, come on in and enjoy the great food and great service.
That's the Bunganut Pig in Georgetown Square.
Now at the Bunganut Pig, every Monday and Tuesday night is trivia night. Bunganut Pig is on Northfield Boulevard in the Georgetown Square.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
At Senior Financial Advisors, their goal is to create retirement and income plans that allow you to live your retirement years in peace, comfort, and security. Larry and Cindy Roby can also help with Medicare and Social Security options, along with estate planning. Call 216-1048 to schedule a consultation to review your existing plan and accounts. There's never a charge for these meetings. Senior Financial Advisors, BBB accredited, your bridge to protection, savings, and growth. 216-1048.
Quality products, outstanding service, friendly employees, all are essential to a successful business. But there are also invisible products every business must have, like honesty, dependability, and customer trust. Customer loyalty is earned when businesses take the time to learn from their customers. Our BBB accredited businesses make this pledge. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna.
I've got pests. AmeriCare is Rutherford County's number one choice in pest control, and it's simple to see why. After calling 893-7111, their staff came to my house 8 years ago when I had an insect problem. They looked at the situation, showed me the areas, and what they'd recommend to resolve the problem. After treatment and with quarterly checks, I'm bug, critter, and creepy crawly free. Thanks, AmeriCare.
Call the best of the best to get rid of your pest.
AmeriCare, 893-7111.
Let's see what the weekend's going to bring. Our first Friday Night Live of the season on the Murfreesboro Square gets underway at 6:30 this Friday night. So bring your lawn chair to the east side of the historic Rutherford County Courthouse and enjoy the Firehouse Band. You'll also have a chance to do a little shopping, enjoy dinner, and get reacquainted with your friends. Friday Night Live starts at 6:30 this Friday night on the Murfreesboro Square. Friday night also brings the annual Secret Garden Party to benefit the Discovery Center at Murphy Spring. And by the way, this is the organization's 25th anniversary, and tonight's party is at the home of Cindy and Doyle Boyd. For more information, call the Discovery Center. And Friday is also the third annual Taste of Smyrna, featuring signature menu items from the area's best restaurant. And it all benefits the North Rutherford YMCA in Smyrna. Oh, the Saturday Marketplace gets underway 8 until noon Saturday around the Rutherford County Courthouse. And from 10 until 4 Saturday, take a tour of the area's most unique and beautiful gardens in area homes. Call the Discovery Center at Murphy Spring at 890-2300 for information. Those are Good Neighbor events.
Did you get a sad face after your emissions test?
Come by Todd's Complete Auto Care and we'll get your car to pass and put a smile on your face.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care Center. We'll even take it through emissions for you.
Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Come see me.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with John Whittemore. And this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. And that's Melissa Warren's business. And if you're having problem keeping up with all the responsibilities in your home and you feel like it's just too big of a task for you to handle anymore and you may have to move out, well, you don't have to. Give At Home Care a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. Or you can even go over to their place of business at 237 Castlewood Drive. That's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And they'll come into your home 24/7, take care of all your responsibilities, run all your errands, and you just sit back and enjoy life. No more cares, no more worries. Just let them handle it, and you'll be glad you did. Well, you know, John, earlier when you were on the show before, you had talked about maybe branching out and even going into, like, the Jack Daniel's distillery, going into the bourbon side. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like right now you guys got about all you can handle.
That's true. Very much. Yes. We want to get comfortable with what we're doing currently, make sure we have plenty of the product out there, mm-hmm. and then hopefully this winter, you know, I think I've heard and read and been told that bourbons and especially Tennessee whiskeys are something that do well to be made mm-hmm. in the fall or in the winter months. So hopefully we'll get to that point here in the next couple of months and we can go ahead and start experimenting with that, getting some barrels together. So, you know, of course those have to be barreled and then they have to be aged for a minimum number of years. Probably do some that we'll release at the minimum and some that we'll go ahead and continue to age and just follow it out and see where that takes us.
Are you getting any feedback internationally from groups? Because, you know, I think that's one thing that really took Jack Daniel's off, really. It put them on the map, was they had a lot of international groups that would come over here and visit. I think that's one of the reasons that Ms. Bobo's was so famous, because they would travel thousands of miles just to come mm-hmm. in and see what was going on and see what the product is.
Yes, we have had that. I did an interview with a German radio station a month or two ago. They came out and took a tour and then did a brief interview with me. I guess they told me it was Germany's version of NPR, mm-hmm. National Public Radio. They were super, super interested in what we were doing, just fascinated with the process, especially the moonshine, because mm-hmm. that's sort of what – maybe not the entire United States, but certainly Tennessee internationally is seen as the hillbillies with the jugs in their hands.
Right,
and so
right.
they're very interested in seeing how we're sort of bringing it up to the modern times. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun. I have heard through several different people that some of the representatives from Nissan have been expressing an interest in getting some to take back to Japan, or us somehow shipping some to Japan and taking care of them. Mm-hmm. Of course, right now my only choice is to kind of laugh about it and say, well, let us get Woodbury taken care of first. Mm-hmm. Let us get Murfreesboro and Nashville done, and then we'll look into Japan and Germany. And but yes, to answer your question, it seems to be a real obsession with certain people from other countries that they want to figure out what this is all about.
Well, you're thinking about taking care of what the needs are right now, but knowing you, there has to be some major plans in progress to take care of the growth as it comes, because you're going to have to be having to take care of all those special customers as they come into this area. And I presume that Cannon County is going to make a major effort to make sure that they have the lodging and the places of interest that they would probably, Murfreesboro and all these other places would be included in that. Mm-hmm. So I presume that there is a link between all of the chambers as to what's going on in each area.
Yeah, that is my understanding as well. When we were meeting with Neil about the bus tours that were wanting to come out, he is working directly with Rutherford County's or Murfreesboro's Chamber of Commerce to try to work through a lot of these issues. The folks around the area, the Cannon County area, I think it's kind of growing organically, to use a term that we're using on our farm. There is a recent growth of bed and breakfast that have opened up in the Cannon County area. Mm-hmm. We now have the Cannon Inn, which has only been there for a couple of years. So I think that's going to grow as they see there being more folks that are coming in, and of course we have the ability to recommend those. I recommended a bed and breakfast, the Adams House, to some folks yesterday. Mm-hmm. Who had come in from, they were from Vermont.
Wow.
Wonderful couple, great people. They stayed and visited for an hour and a half, 2 hours, had a great time with them, and they were had considered going on and heading home. But I suggested that if they wanted to stick around for another couple of days, come back and see us, maybe see some of the other things in the area, that there was a wonderful bed and breakfast for them. And so they took me up on that and wrote down the address and the phone number, and we're going to go check that out. So that's the way that we want it to work. We can't force anyone to do anything as far mm-hmm. as building a building or making accommodations for
right.
folks. But I think as people see that happening, then there'll be great opportunities for it.
You know, our bed and breakfast businesses around here are almost a secret to everybody
mm-hmm.
because they're in such well-placed areas away from all of the noise and traffic that's going on. And to be perfectly honest with you, it's not too far from here, but Wanda has mm-hmm. her bed and breakfast off of Vault Road, which is off of Cripple Creek Road, which is off of John Bragg Highway. And I have gone by that place I don't know how many times. And I guess you get so caught up in the scenery and everything around you, you don't realize that those places are there. And I guess that is a good thing
mm-hmm.
because you're not interrupted in your solace or just getting away from everything.
Sure, I guess that's the value of a bed and breakfast. I know it would be for me. Of course, I live in a place that could be a bed and breakfast as far as its location, not mm-hmm. not the stand from the standpoint of the home, but the location anyway. And I would appreciate that. I wouldn't want to stay in a bed and breakfast that had traffic running by all hours of the night. So I think Wanda knows what she's doing.
Now, when we were talking about earlier, some of the old time moonshiners. What is their feeling about you operating a legal business, a distillery, and then they look back at all the hardships, or maybe the excitement, I guess it was for them. Can they relate themselves to doing what you're doing?
Well, I think they respect the fact that our process is so closely tied to what they would have used. Mm-hmm. Aside from a couple of stainless steel fermentation tanks, we're doing mm-hmm. it pretty much the way they would have. If anything, we might be a tad smaller than some of these guys have been. You know, I know I've been told by Cooper Melton's family, his descendants, that the still he operated back at our cave spring was a 10 barrel. And I always kind of relate that to people who come back on tours. I say, for example, we have a, or to put it in perspective, we have a two barrel outfit that's in our Shiner Shack over there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know that they I think they appreciate that it's being brought out into the light and that it's becoming something that you can be proud of. I think some of those people maybe felt like it wasn't something they could tell. Their families maybe were ashamed of it. We get a lot of family members who come out and want to tell us stories about their grandfather or their father or what have you that are making it. It's real close, and I always associate these two together, but the basket-making tradition of Cannon County was similar to that. For many years, it was kind of viewed as something that you didn't want other people to even know that you or somebody in your family were doing that. There was a stigma attached to it, perhaps of that you were poor because you were making these baskets. But we've managed to change that a little bit and make it as a respected art form. And that's sort of what I think we're doing with the moonshining. So that's something that I believe will really help us in the future.
You know, when the businesses were illegal, a lot of times, especially in those days, they lived and died by the business. I mean, that was the only opportunity that a lot of them had for income. I don't ever remember a lot of competition or ill feelings or wars between families during that time. I mean, you hear, especially when you get into corrupt areas where they're fighting over territory or whatever, a lot of times you would see that, especially back in the 20s and the 30s, and it grew up. But I don't ever remember anything like that happening in Cannon County. Are there stories about one family versus another family and maybe the resentment carried on into just not like the Hatfield and McCoys, but something similar to that?
I've not heard of anything like that. I have heard that sometimes within a family, say a family that has nine brothers, I've heard of some jealousies amongst the brothers where they might go sabotage their brother who's being successful and selling a lot of his moonshine. They might go sabotage him because they're jealous of the amount of money that he's making. Maybe it had to do with more than just that. Maybe there were some other resentments that went on. But no, for the most part, and our three moonshiners all came from kind of different areas of Cannon County. Jimmy's, of course, from my neck of the woods over in Hollis Springs. And Ronald and Ricky, well, Ronald especially is from Short Mountain itself and has lived there all his life. Ricky's somewhere in between there. He's lived on both sides of the county. But they all seem to work together great. That was one of my worries initially, is you've got these guys who are set in their ways and know what they're doing and done this stuff for so many years. Maybe they're not going to get along, but they have gotten along great. There have been a few little brief discussions about, well, this is the way I've always done it. But, hey, they respect each other, and they listen to each other. And they're really, I think they knew each other prior to this, but they've become a lot closer friends because of their opportunity to work together.
Well, it had to have been a really, in some ways, you had to be looking over your shoulder all the time, because when you're making the whiskey back in the, or the moonshine back in the hills and things like that, you always had to be aware of who was around, and was anybody looking over your shoulder. But you also had to be careful if you were making had a fairly good income coming in at the time. You also had to be aware of how much you were spending, who was watching you spend, and it would also be, in my opinion, a way of alerting other people that may not be as successful as you are to come in and try to, because you probably did very little banking at that time.
Right, yeah, and I guess some of the most famous gangsters of our time, they couldn't get them for all the heinous crimes, but they got them for tax evasion.
That's right.
And I think that's what would be the biggest fear I would have if I were doing that. But really, my experience from what my family's told me, my great-grandfather didn't spend a lot of money. He always had a lot of money. But what these guys did, especially back in those really early times, they wanted land. And they could go out and purchase land and have a deed drawn up, I suppose, that might say a little different amount per acre of what they might have paid for it. A lot of trading that went on, especially back in those days. And that was really the goal of most of those people. It wasn't to buy fancy cars or diamond rings for their wives. It was to acquire land, because that was a real value system. system to them is the more land they had, mm-hmm. that was how they viewed their own success, and they could hand that down to their families. So,
do you still see a lot of deep roots in Cannon County? And to me, not living in Cannon County, it doesn't seem like it's changed all that much. It's changed some. Mm-hmm. But I would think that families just about all the way across the county line, just about everybody knows each other, and, mm-hmm. and you know, that's something kind of special, because I still kind of reminisce sometimes of how we used to be years ago.
Yes, I do. It is almost like homecoming every weekend down there at the distillery, where I see people that maybe haven't seen each other in a while, even family members all greeting each other, hanging out, asking what's been going on with each other. Of course, Ricky and Ronald and Jimmy, I think, are the three most popular men in Cannon County, because everybody from Cannon County seems to know them. I know a big part of my family are still there. What I see happening is similar to what happened with me, is when I hit 18, I got out of there as fast as I could and swore I wasn't never coming back. And then
Why would you do such a silly thing?
Because I wanted to see the world, and mm-hmm. I was tired of digging in those gardens and in those fields. I was ready to get out of there. So I did, but come along approaching 30 and had two children of my own, I started to have that appreciation that my father told me I would. But I started to remember it a little more fondly, and the idea of splitting firewood all afternoon on a Sunday didn't seem to bother me as much as it had back when I was 18. So I came back, and I see that a lot. A lot of people who have gone away for a few years but feel mm-hmm. the call, and they come back. So I think that's kind of what keeps Cannon County at its steady population that it's always been. You know, I don't think the population has changed much in the past 100 years there. But you do see new people that are coming in, mm-hmm. not so many that they're building subdivisions and tearing down old farms or anything like that, but I think a little bit of new blood is good, and that's what's kind of kept things progressing as much as they have. I think that was a big part of how we were able to get our referendum pushed through or accepted, is that people had some different ideas about things, and were, you know, a lot of them are artists or, you know, folks who just really appreciate that country setting and country way of life, so they fit right in.
And now you may be part of the change in Cannon County as it grows, and I can still see Cannon County still keeping its same way of life in many ways, because
too.
Like I said earlier, the roots are so deep, and everybody is so close. It may be just one of these places that people will just want to come to that's different, so that they can see how things used to be. I mean, people, you know, they'll go up in New England, or they'll go to Europe and see the things that have been there for years, and that's something that's kind of solid about Cannon County. It really is, the way they think and the way that they have come to be what they are today.
I agree with that. And you know, that's the charm behind it. If there were suddenly a skyscraper down there on West Main Street, it would probably lose a little of that small town charm. But I think that the people who are in charge or in control of a lot of those kinds of things, the business owners, know that, and we're gonna do our best to keep things that way. And a little bit slower, kind of a reminiscent of that older time where things were a little slower and a little more laid back, and I like it that way.
I do too. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with John Whittemore.
Hi, I'm Dr. Patrick Showalter.
And I'm Dr. Chad Jackson. Did you know that Middle Tennessee Medical Center is home to the Da Vinci surgical robot, and that we are the first surgeons to use the robot in Rutherford County?
When faced with prostate cancer, the Da Vinci robot makes surgery an excellent option.
It allows for quicker recovery, less blood loss, and studies suggest it may be the most effective, least invasive treatment option for improving cancer outcomes.
For more information or to find a Da Vinci robot certified physician, visit mtmc.org.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. and our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're at the Garden Patch Thrift Store on Spring Street across from the tall NHC building, talking with Christy Sanford.
Everything that comes in is donated. We process all of that, and we have some in the store and some we still do to clients, and all the funds of that go back into the ministry.
Greenhouse Ministries is a faith-based nonprofit agency serving the underserved of our community.
It's just like a normal thrift store. You come in and you shop. It's open to the public, but yet it's for a great cause.
The Garden Patch Thrift Store on Spring Street, open Tuesday through Saturday.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with John Whittemore. And the last part of his show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography. That's at 315 Hickerson Drive. And you can reach them at 396-8776 or on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman. And both of those guys are local guys. And I think maybe even Larry might be on for a little bit tomorrow. He's in the class of 62, and they're having their 50th class reunion for a bunch of all those old people. And they are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family, and they are great friends. John, boy, we flew through this so fast. It's just like taking one of the back roads and in one of those souped-up cars that everybody used to drive. And I still think that you ought to have some way, I don't know if you'd have to pay any royalties or however you do it, to maybe play a little Thunder Road every once in a while.
Well, we play some music out there while we're out there. We play some bluegrass and old time, and we've got an old 51 Chevy pickup truck out there that everybody needs to come out and take a look at.
My.
I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Is it souped up?
Well, it's as souped up as it could be, I suppose. It sounds like it is, but I'm not much of an engine guy.
When we were kids, didn't you love one of those straight pipes and put those big engines in there and just listen to them?
I think this one's got a 305 in it. I think that's right. Somebody that knows motors is going to be mad at me for saying that, but I think that's what it has in there.
I had an old 63 Corvette, and as much as I loved to drive it, and it would absolutely fly, I could just sit there and listen to that engine purr.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it actually did play a tune while it was idling. It was just something special.
Yeah, this one sounds great. Well, Truman, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you having us back on again. This is great. I enjoy it coming down and visiting with you every time. Really appreciate it.
Very sorry that your buddies didn't get to come with you. I would love to have had Jimmy and Ricky on with you, because you could do almost a story. I mean, I could just sit here and listen, because I went over to your place and I was listening to Ricky tell about how they used to make moonshine, and that you had that little applicator or whatever it was back there in the back, and I sat there and I was just absolutely fascinated by that. And the history of that is something that's really special. Of course, we know it goes all the way back to the old countries and things like that. But how it could stay, you always lose things in translation or whatever through the years. But that's the thing about the people who were in the moonshine industry. They kept that. They kept that family secret for hundreds of years, which is totally fascinating.
That's right.
And I think that's part of the folklore or whatever of the moonshine industry. It's more than just a product put out. It's a whole way of life.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'll have to make sure I bring Ricky and Jimmy with me. The next time you invite us down, I'll bring them down here. But anybody that's out there listening, I encourage you to come visit with us this weekend. We're open from 9 to 4, Friday and Saturday. Tuesdays through Saturdays, we're open every week. This weekend, we're going to have the State Hog Rally going on, so there'll be a few guys out there on their bikes. We're bottling tonight, so we'll have plenty of product for folks to come out there. Check us out at the on the web at shortmountaindistillery.com, or you can find us on Facebook where we post a lot of the things that are going on, what to expect when you come out, our address, all of that kind of stuff at Short Mountain Distillery on Facebook.com.
Now, when do you have the music again? When do you have the people out there?
It's going to be the tail end of July, like the last weekend of July. You know, of course, right now, festival time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to find the pickers and that sort of thing that want to come out and play because they're busy doing
them
all
the
kinds of other stuff.
Oh,
but I've usually got my guitar out there on the weekend. So if anybody wants to come out and listen to me warble on, they can. But it'll be the tail end of July is the next one. I do. You heard me sing the last time you were here. Remember?
No,
I did the Cannon County Hills.
Did you hear him, Brian? Yeah, but did he sing in person?
Oh, not in person, no.
We'll do a little Thunder Road for us before we go.
Don't put me on that spot now, Truman. I don't even know the words to that one.
Now,
I can do the Cannon County Hills.
Did Donald tell me a story?
No, he
wasn't. What a great entertainer you are and singer. All right.
I have to have my guitar to drown out my voice.
Well, it's a lot of fun, John. Always glad to have you on. You got a bunch of great guys, and I really enjoy everybody down there.
Great. Thank you again, Trevor.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And we'll see you guys tomorrow, and we'll have the voice of sports in Rutherford County for many, many years, Mr. Dick Palmer, will be on tomorrow. See you later.